Hello, and welcome back to the For Him podcast. My inspiration for this episode really just revolves around the Christian misconception that following Jesus takes sin away from your life magically, and that following Jesus somehow makes you quote-unquote better than or cleaner than anyone else, where in Romans 3:23, it clearly states the opposite of that, saying, "For all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God." And so in this episode, I just want to emphasize that Christians aren't separated from the world because they're sinless or because they're better. But what separates a Christian from the rest of the world is that they are someone who is truly in relationship with God and following Christ. So the posture of their heart towards sin has changed. It's all about, do you hate your sin or are you sitting comfortably with it? Do you recognize when you've fallen short and turn back to God in repentance? Or do you shrug it off, justify your sin, and let it linger in your life? And this episode is also kind of going to build off of my last episode where I talked on letting conviction change you. This is essentially what it looks like in real life to let that conviction have changed you. So let's get raw, real, and unfiltered about walking the talk. As Christians, we're to have a heart posture that hates sin. So what does this mean? In Psalm 51, a great raw picture of this is given after David's sin with Bathsheba. He didn't minimize it or justify it away. He cried out to God saying, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Notice the posture of his heart in this. It was broken in repentance and in surrender. David wasn't a man who never sinned, but he was a man who was after God's heart because he didn't want to stay in his sin, aka a Christian. So what is the dividing line? Because God doesn't expect us to never sin again. If that was the case, we wouldn't need him. He does, however, expect us to grow to hate our sin as we grow in him, to begin aligning our desires with his will, to start to turn away from sin and towards him, and to humble ourselves before him and know that his way is better than actually act like that. Act like you know that his way is better by the way that you live your life. And this is where it gets real, because each one of us definitely struggles with some sin. Maybe it's gossip for you. Maybe it's pride. Maybe a hidden addiction. Maybe lust. Maybe anger. Maybe all of the above. Whatever the sin, the overarching question is, when you feel convicted for that sin, how do you respond to that conviction? I think a good analogy is like, if you were to find mold in your house, you're not going to dismiss it because it's just a little bit, I'll deal with it later. You deal with it now because you know that if you don't, it'll grow. And sin is the exact same way. It grows when you don't deal with it. So a Christian isn't somebody who, in this analogy, doesn't even find the mold in their house. They still have mold in their house, but when they do find it, they refuse to let it stay there and grow. How, you might ask, how do we step away from sin when we recognize it and feel convicted by it? The first thing is repentance. Repentance isn't just feeling bad for your sin or feeling that conviction. It's a change of direction because of that conviction. Direction away from sin and direction towards God. This happens in multiple different ways. One is in prayer, confessing honestly before the Lord, asking for his forgiveness, and inviting his spirit to strengthen you moving forward. This also happens in his word, just spending time learning how he calls us to live straight from the source and reading the Bible, because it's hard to know how to follow somebody if you can't even see the steps that they're taking. That's why it's so important to study the Bible for yourself and get in the Word and come to know who Jesus is, what he calls us to do, how to be more like him. This also happens in surrender, choosing to lay down the parts of ourselves that are separating us from his holiness, whether that be, like I mentioned before, pride, gossip, lustfulness, hidden addiction. Hebrews 12:1 tells us to do just this. It says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us," or a life that glorifies God, stepping towards him. This isn't passive language in this verse. It's a call for action. It shows that Christians are called to step closer to the heart of God, to truly take those steps and not just talk about taking them, or talk as if they are taking them when they're not. So, speaking of, let's discuss truly walking the talk. Billy Graham's words hit so hard. He said, "The way that we live is more convincing than the words that we say." Because it's one thing to tell people about Jesus, to share a verse, or to talk about our love for God, but our faith in action is what truly proves how we feel about God, what truly points others to Him, and what truly brings Him glory. As it says in James 1:22, "Do not merely listen to the word, deceiving yourself, do what it says." Because if my words say I love and I follow Christ, but the way that I live my life doesn't, my word now loses its value and is not credible. I think something that comes to mind for me in this is the fact that I have a Christian podcast. I publicly am open about the fact that I love Christ. I follow Christ. I do my best to be representation of Christ. And so if you know me outside of my podcast, whether that be through social media or in private conversation or just are my friend, my neighbor, my someone who knows me from church, like any form of community, if you know me outside of the podcast and I don't represent that well, I am somebody who you would never have any idea follows or loves Christ, I feel like that raises a red flag. I feel like what you say in your word should also be what is shown in your deeds and in your actions, because the two need to match to truly have truth in them, as simple as that sounds. But I say all of this because people are drawn to a faith that truly saves, and so Christians should represent Christ well. Think about it this way. If someone always talks about being into fitness and how they prioritize their health, but every time you see them, they're eating junk food and saying no to exercise, their words don't carry much weight at that point. On the other hand, if somebody commits to healthy choices and follows through with them, it's noticeable. They don't even need to talk about what they're doing because their actions prove it, and you're able to recognize that in them. And it should be the same exact way in our relationship with Christ. We shouldn't have to publicly announce that we follow Christ. If we follow Christ, it should be evident in the way that we treat others, because our walk speaks much louder than our talk. So as a Christian, you won't be perfect, but you should choose integrity. You should repent. You should do your best to represent Christ well, carrying His fruits of self-control, peace, patience, joy, love, gentleness, faithfulness, kindness, and goodness in the way that you carry yourself and in the way that you treat others. As a Christian, like I said, others should be able to see Christ in you. It should be evident. I personally, as a Christian, would be very offended if I told somebody that I love God, that I believe in Jesus, that I'm a follower of Christ, and they were like, "What? I would have had no idea," you know? Like, that wouldn't feel very good, because that is what I'm called to do, is represent Him well and bring others to Him. So I would feel like job not well done if that wasn't evident in my life at all. And so what this means to be living for God's glory, it's all about not glorifying ourselves, not being self-righteous, but glorifying Him, knowing that He is the one that is righteous. In Matthew 5:16, it says, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Notice that it says see your good deeds, not hear your good words, emphasizing to see our lives lived out in a way that points to Him is what is important. I think for me, I'm a little biased, basically, because I went from not knowing Christ at all, not claiming any religion for a majority of my life, and then finding Christ in my 20s, and just my life being completely transformed by that, kind of going from like 0 to 100 in my faith. And so I never really understood the in-between phase, or being culturally Christian and saying, "Oh yeah, I believe in God," but then living a life that doesn't reflect that at all. I spend no time reading the word. I don't prioritize prayer. I don't attend church. I'm not trying to turn away from my sin. I'm just sitting in it. I've just never agreed with that. And I'm not here to say that that's I don't know. I know that it's easier said than done, and that we all struggle with things, and there are different periods of our lives where we do have dry seasons and we don't reflect Christ as well, even if we know him. But I've just always felt like if you truly know the God that I know, you would want to spend time with him. You would want to be attending church, to be in that body of believers. You would want to be reading your word. It wouldn't feel like a chore. You would want to get to know God better and want to do your best to follow and glorify him if you truly knew his character and love for us. And so I guess for me, and maybe this is a controversial statement, and maybe I shouldn't even be including this part in my episode, but Whole Brand is Raw, Real, and Unfiltered. But I just feel like if you claim to know Christ and don't act or live like it at all, then I would argue that you don't actually know Christ in the way that you think you do. And yeah, I feel like that goes for anything in life, honestly. Like I said, the gym analogy, just if you stand on something and claim to live by something and then don't, it just doesn't make much sense. Like, either claim something and actually stand behind it, or don't claim it at all. Anyways, back to what I was saying. Went off on that little tangent, but I think some takeaways in all of this is to really just challenge ourselves, and I'm saying ourselves because obviously myself included, to not let sin become a companion in your life, to hate it, to reject it, to take it to God in repentance and just spend time with him so that you know his voice, his heart, and his holiness, and then surrender the areas of your life that you have been holding back and trust that his grace is enough to cover you in them. Then walk it out. Let your life back up your words. Let your actions preach louder than your mouth ever could, because in the end, what separates Christians isn't perfection, it's direction. It's not sinlessness, but it's repentance. It's not words, but it's a life that is truly transformed by Christ. So, with all of that, and I hope that I didn't come off too harsh, I want to thank you guys for listening, and I also want to say a prayer over anyone who is still listening. God, I thank you so much for this opportunity to speak on who you are. And I pray that I just represent you well in this, in speaking publicly about you. I pray for anyone listening that they take those steps away from their sin and towards you, and that they can lean on your strength and your courage to do so, but that they truly surrender those areas of their lives that they're struggling and giving up, that they surrender them to you, and that they find peace in this, that they come to know your joy and ultimately realize that anything that you have to offer is so much greater than the things of this world can provide. I pray that people who claim to know you live their life like it as well, and that your Holy Spirit guides them in doing so, gives them the direction, teaches them how to best glorify you, that they spend time in the word and in prayer and building their relationship with you so that they can come to know you better and bring others to you as well. Lord, I thank you for all of this, for this opportunity, for the way that you're moving in my life, for the way that you're moving in these people's lives. And yeah, I love you so much. I honor you. I pray all of this in your holy name. Amen. If you take nothing else from all of this, take that a Christian isn't defined by never falling, but by rising back up through Christ. As Christians, we're called to live like we belong to him. So search your heart, surrender what's holding you back, and take those steps towards and for him.